Good to see all of you. All right, we're still in Proverbs chapter 20. Last week we looked at the just man, the righteous man. And we got to remember that when we read the words just and hear the words righteous and stuff like that, we're talking about saved people, okay? Because there is no way a lost person can be just or righteous, okay? They still have they do not have the Spirit of God within them. They still have, a lot of Christians are ruled by the carnal lust in their heart, but, there is no hope for them except through Christ. So it's amazing to me that Christians, and I use that term loosely, people that say they're Christians, look to lost people as being somehow an example for their life. Why is that? You know? It's because, and this is my opinion, it's because we see that the yardstick or measuring stick of God says, be like my son. That's who you're supposed to be like, you know, because we are created to be in the very image of God's son. And God also says, Old Testament, New Testament, be ye holy for I am holy. So that's a pretty high measuring stick, isn't it? Where if we use our own, it's other people, you know, and it's like, hey, we can shoot low. Pastor says it, aim high, and because if you aim low, you'll hit the mark every time. Okay, but aim high, so that way you have to try. And it's amazing, like I said, there are people out there that do not look at the life or the morality of people, and then they still choose them to be their example of life. People that they admire. Okay? That's why people admire still Adolf Hitler. And you know what the biggest thing was? The trains ran on time. Before Adolf Hitler got elected, the trains were notoriously late. Everything didn't work as far as the government was supposed to work. You know, Adolf Hitler gets in, and boom, the trains run on time. Why? Because if they didn't, they got in trouble, and a lot of them were sent to prison. Okay, more of a thing of fear rather than organization. Okay. And it's still kind of that way today. We look at people and we say, oh, this guy is such a nice guy and everything. Yeah, but he goes with child molesters. You know? Oh, no, that's okay. Wait a minute, how can that be okay? You know? How can we as children of God choose unsaved, unlost, holy people to be an example of life? If you do, knock it off. Because that is a very abomination to God. When we, as the children of God, do not look to God for our example, do not look to Jesus as the example of our living. Okay. And like I said, it just amazes me. And it's even more pronounced in election cycles. Because some parties will put up people that are just notoriously bad people who have, you know, problems with morality, and they say, oh, this person deserves to be our leader because he's so nice, he really cares for us. No, bottom line, they only care for themselves. Okay, how do you know this? You can tell by the things they do and say. You know, Inslee's a big point, man. I know you're not supposed to do government things and stuff. We're doing morality here, okay? Okay? Inslee is a liar. How can you say that? Well, because he was called out to be a liar on his debate. And he says, no, I'm not. Okay? And you better listen to this. He says, well, we have the audio and the videotape of you lying. Oh. Okay? He got caught in his lie. Oh. Well, and if you're still voting for him, by the way, you shouldn't. Seriously. If he's proven to be a liar, why would you vote for a liar? Because it's still imperative that God puts the burden of proof on us to live our life righteously. Okay? That's what this whole thing in Proverbs is about, to live the life righteously that God wants you to live, the way God wants you to live. And when the New Testament says, be not unequally yoked with evildoers, and we vote for them, or we choose to go them and defend them, we are yoking ourselves, putting our reputation, we're putting our life along with theirs. Okay, you remember what it means to be yoked with something? Remember the old movies? You see two oxen side by side, and they got this thing across there that joins them together. That's a yoke. Okay. On horse teams, it goes in the front here, so that way these animals are put together. One cannot go without the other. Okay. If we put ourselves to a point where we are joined with ideology, philosophy, okay, or even just social mindfulness, that's ideology, by the way, to these people, that means our life is lived with them. Okay? Our life is according to how they run and walk. Because we can't go forward if they don't. Okay? We can't stop if they don't. Okay? Whereas Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Okay? And learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Okay? I mean, how much clearer and plainer can it get? Okay, so I didn't tell you scripture and verse, but I think all of you by now, I look around here and I see people that have been saved for years. Some of you have been saved longer than I have. And I'm over 40 years old. Okay? In other ways than that, too. So, and I know that these scriptures, these things that I paraphrase and even quote just like that one, you guys know. And if you know it, why aren't we living by it? Why do we still find ourselves, oh, I'm going to vote for this person because I believe in what they believe in? Man, remember, the love of this world is to be an enemy of God. We have to remember that. Okay, if we love the philosophies, the vain things, and empty things of this world, we are counting ourselves to be enemies of God. And you know what that means? That means we are an antichrist. Okay? Oh, no, I'm not that guy. No, Paul said it, and there are many antichrists in the world already. There is one that's going to be set himself up as a world ruler. He will be the antichrist. Okay? But there are already antichrists in the world. Don't be one of them. And Paul said, man, I know all these people. Their lives have already been made shipwreck, and I pray for them, and I weep over them. Man, don't be that person. Where saved people have to weep over you because you have turned your eyes against God. You have turned your life and your back against God. And then we wonder, wow, what's going on? Why are things the way they are? Because Christians have not been Christ-like. Okay? Christians have not lived in integrity, have not lived in moral values, have not lived according to as God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be just like me. You have the same attitudes towards sin that I have. Okay? And yet a lot of our Christian brethren, man, they say, oh, that's so nice that they really care for these people. No. We have to be tolerant of them. Tolerance does not mean acceptance. Okay? Unfortunately, in the world, when you say, oh, let's be tolerant of these people, you're saying let's be acceptance of their sin. No, we accept the people, but we hate the sin. Why? Because God hates the sin. Okay? And if you can't go along with that, then you are against God. Again, an antichrist. Yeah, I know these are pretty harsh words. They are pretty harsh words. It's amazing, though, Paul had the same words for everybody in the world, or for everybody that he preached to. Why do you think the Sadducees and Pharisees in the Sanhedrin court hated his guts? And we're going to kill him. Because everything he says is against us. Why do you think Stephen was taken out and stoned? A just man, a man living in his integrity, was preaching against the morality of the leaders. And they took him out and stoned him. He wasn't preaching politics. He was preaching against the morality of the leaders. And they took him out and stoned him. Sorry, I got to get that out of my pocket. Otherwise, I'm going to sit there and make noise. If none of you heard it, I'm sorry. You were going to hear it in a minute. He preached against the morality of the day, of the leaders, of the political party. Yeah. If you say that we shouldn't, as Christians, preach politics in church, you're right. We shouldn't preach politics. We shouldn't discuss politics. But we should discuss the morality, the right and wrong of the things that are going on in our society. We need to. Otherwise, what are we doing? Or not standing for the Word of God. You know, too many Christians, people go to church, Baptists even now, will sit and fuss and argue and all that stuff over the different translations of the Bible and everything, rather than standing up against sin. Seriously. Just go ask Pastor about the pastor's conference he's gone for. When a pastor stands up in the pulpit and starts talking about sin, naming specific sins, the first time he's gone, they vote him out. Because they can't do it to his face. You know, when he starts preaching against sins, somebody comes up to him, usually people on the deacon's board, and it won't be me. Honest, I will not get up there as a deacon and say, Pastor. Although I had heard a deacon tell me, well, the deacon is the defender of the pulpit. Oh, really? I see the deacon being nothing but a waiter. You know, when you go back to the first church in the first Landmark Missionary Baptist Church of Jerusalem. I say that because I was saved in the Landmark. And that's, if it's not FMLB, come on. That's First Landmark Missionary Baptist, okay? If you're not FMLB, well, then you're not a real church. There were some that had that doctrine. Anyway, the deacons will get up and say, hey, don't preach against this sin. Don't preach against fornication. And don't preach against the love of money. Don't preach against this and that and that. Against alcohol and stuff like that. Don't preach against that. Well, you got to. Otherwise, you're not preaching the Word of God. Okay? And that's where this comes into in Proverbs. In the Old Testament, we have a book that teaches us to live righteously, to live a holy life, to live a life with God, not apart from God, to live a life with God, not just for Him. Okay. In everything we do. This next section, we're going to look at a couple of verses. It's kind of weird because it deals a lot with businesses, okay, and how Christians ought to conduct themselves in business. You know, a lot of people hate the Jews because the Jews are, for the most part, prosperous. Although I have met some dirt poor Jews. Okay? Jewish people that were dirt poor. But for the most part, Jewish people are prosperous. Why? Because they have a work ethic. Okay? Remember the prodigal son? Okay, all the focus is on the prodigal son. Oh, and his reunion with the father. Well, how about the son that stayed? People, oh, he shouldn't have been that way when his brother came back, when he whined and complained to his daddy, you know, oh, Dad, I've been here all this time, and you haven't thrown a party for me and my friends. So wait a minute. If that's all you can do, how about this guy had the work ethic? I am going to get here. I am going to serve my dad. I am going to work for my dad. I am going to work for my bread. By the sweat of my brow, I shall earn my bread. That's what the Bible says. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to work, you're going to eat. If you don't sweat, then we have other sections here in Proverbs. If you don't work, you don't eat. True? If you don't plant a garden, you ain't going to reap the garden. We planted a garden. It was a good garden. Okay, bunch of tomatillos. We're going to make some salsa verde out of it. It's like this green salsa. It's like, yeah, that's good stuff. Anyway, the son had the work ethic. His younger brother did not. How do we know this? Because his younger brother says, you give me what's owed me. Okay, there was a law back then that you could sue your parents for your inheritance and get it now. Which means that the parents had to go ahead and figure out how much they were worth now, and if I were to die now, how much would they get? Okay, he took them to the law and he said, here's the money. And what did the guy do with it? Did the younger son go ahead and go and invest it wisely? Did the younger son just go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to buy this, this, and this property. I'm going to collect rent. I'm going to do this. I'm going to invest and get money? No. It says he wasted it in riotous living. And in other sections of the New Testament, we see that riotous living is not a Christian attitude. It's not a Christian life. We also see that he did not go to some nice Jewish town, by the way. Why? Because when all his money was spent, his friends left him. He said, man, I need a job. I need to eat. So what did he wind up doing? Slopping hogs. Now, in the South, here in the United States, slopping hogs is good because you can raise them hogs and people eat hogs. People eat pig. I love pig. I love pork. Okay. But for a nice Jewish kid, slopping hogs was like, ooh, this is an abomination. And yet he did it anyway. And he wanted to eat what they were going to eat. So you know he wasn't in a nice Jewish town, was he? Because they wouldn't raise hogs in a nice Jewish town. He was in a foreign country. Okay? He had to leave his home, his hometown. He had to leave even all of his quote-unquote friends he had at that time. He had to leave everything about his home. He went to a foreign country, and there he commenced riotous living. He indulged himself in all things. Okay? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I've heard Christians spout that. We're going to go to Vegas. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Oh, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He wasted everything he had in riotous living. Yes, living against the will of God. Okay. Somebody at one time, the first time I preached that, or taught that, have you never heard of a vacation? That's not a vacation. He forced his dad to split split dad's wealth. So that way dad was poorer after his son left. And then he wasted it on goofy stuff. Stuff that had no value, stuff that had no endurance. Why? Because he had nothing. Okay? He woke up in the morning in the pig pen, fed the pigs, and he wanted to eat what the pigs had. So when he went back to his father, he said, look, I got servants in my daddy's house that they get paid more than this. They live a whole lot better than this. All people say, oh, he got a work ethic. No, he didn't. He just said, well, I can live better in my dad's house. Okay. We see the repentance. He says, Father, I am so sorry for doing this. Okay, and I think he did come to repentance because the Bible tells us that. But I think it was repentance brought on more by necessity. Okay. How about us? Sometimes we hit rock bottom before we repent. Before we really realize, oh man, this was totally against God. Oh no. And then we say, man, I'm sorry. God, I didn't realize. Okay. You know, his father welcomed him back home. Welcome back the prodigal. By the way, it is not a proud thing to be called a prodigal son, okay? Because that means you turned away from your father to begin with, okay? But his father forgave him, loved him, and threw a welcome home party for him, okay? And then I bet you he proceeded to give him a, he probably had a room in the house, my opinion. He probably had a room in the house, his old room. But he went out and worked the fields like the rest of the people. Why? Because he had no stake in his daddy's house. That's what he told the older brother when he came home and said, Dad, you never threw me a party like that. Son, all that I have is yours. My life has been yours for the last couple of years while he's been gone. All that I have is yours. He's got to work as a servant from now on. You're my beloved son. He had the work ethic. As good Christians ought to have a work ethic. Okay. Get up and do things. Pete. Every winter, my heart goes out to Pete. Not really, but I said, man, he's got to get up. I mean, you know, it's like he gets up at this time. He goes snow plowing. He does his work during the day. This last couple of days, he's been sick. He does all this stuff. Man, it's a hard life. Other people look at him and say, man, I wish I had what he had. Well, then get up and do it, the work that it was required to do that. Get off your butt and get moving. Don't just sit around. What does all that have to do with what we're going to go to? Because walking in your integrity of your heart, okay, means you're walking in completeness with God, which means you're doing what God says, which means that you are getting up to provide for your family. Not that you're resting on mom, dad, grandpa, grandpa, or the government for your living. Okay. However, if you work for the post office, you are living off the government. I work for STA. It is a, what's that?
Self-sustaining.
No, it's not. They have lost money over the last, after the last 60 years of my life, they've just been a losing proposition. Yeah. Which is why the Congress just asks add more money to the post office budget. Yeah. You know, I hear all this stuff too at my work, mostly from the union guys. My company was just given a government grant, government loan, not grant, a grant of a couple $1 million. They're not going to buy new vehicles. Why? Because we don't have the ridership. They're going to invest it in other ways. I'm a government worker, by the way. I am. Your taxes pay for me to ride around in that air-conditioned and heated vehicle all day. They do. Okay. However, STA Paratransit still has the idea of being responsible with the money that they have. Okay. They are not in debt. They have no loans. Okay. All the stuff that they get, we bought a bunch of new vehicles, or year before. They were all paid for cash. Okay. The business was done as it ought to be, as God says. Pay for it cash, no loans. Okay. So as we go on, Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? The people that defend their jobs. The union people says, well, I need to make another $5-$10 an hour in order for me to, I don't know, do my job better. Well, you're doing your job now. Why do you need another $5-$10? Oh, I got to buy some stuff. I got to pay for stuff that I'm over my head in debt to. Okay. Oh, and by the way, we deserve it. Huh? People always ask me, a couple of union guys ask me, well, the president and the vice president and treasurer, we're going to be negotiating for a new contract next year. Well, what would you like to see done? I don't know. This is a perfect job. This is the best job I ever had, man. I get paid to ride around. I get paid to do this. I get paid sufficiently, okay, for my needs, even my desires. I still get to go fishing every now and again. Okay, right on. I don't need anything. Well, wouldn't you like to have blah, 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 blah? I don't need it. No, not really, no. What's wrong with you? I don't know. When I first started, I got pulled aside by one of the guys and said, man, you're making us look bad. What do you mean I'm making you look bad? Okay. We have a pull-out time. Okay. We can clock in 10 minutes before that. Okay. From our pull-out time, we have 10 minutes to actually leave the garage. Okay. We log in. We got 10 minutes to prep. Stuff like that. And then we can pull out 10 after. Okay. I get there, I prep, log in, and I pull out. I go sit on the side of the road waiting for the pickup. And a lot of times, I just head to the job before that second 10 minutes. And they come up and said, you're making us look bad. Why? Because you're out going to work. Isn't that what I get paid for? Clock is ticking. I get paid for it. As a matter of fact, I get paid from that 10 minutes before, by the way, that I'm not supposed to. I got 10 minutes to be to my truck. So I get paid for all that, right? Yeah. But you're making us look bad because you look like you're actually working. Not my fault. And I told him that. I said, not my fault. And not my problem. Okay. I will do what I do. Because that's the way I view my job. My work there. Like I said, this is the best job I ever had. When I finish, at the end of the day, I have no work hanging over me. Isn't it just glorious? How many of you, when you left work Friday afternoon, man, Monday I got this, I got this, I got this. Oh, man, I got to do that. Oh, I got to catch up from Friday or the week before because it was so busy. That Monday now, I've got twice as much work as I ordinarily would have. Not for me. I show up Monday morning. Okay, that's my van. And I'm done. You know, break 2 hours later, I got nothing to do. Nothing hanging over me. I got nobody to see, no calls to make, no calls to return. If I leave on vacation, somebody else does my job. I don't have any work waiting for me, piling up when I get back. It's the best job I've ever, and I get paid for this. Wow. If your job's not like that, I am so sorry. Well, okay, you know, it's your job. No, my job is like this. Best job I've ever had. Yeah. I'm not worried about anything when I walk in Monday morning. Except if I'm late or not. Got to get there early. I got to leave early enough for traffic. And people are stupid when they drive. Yeah. But who can say I am clean, I am pure from my sin? Okay. Listen to people. Everybody does. Okay. And I can only go union people because this is what I have the most experience right now. All my life I have been anti-union. And I think you guys have known that. But here I am. In order to get this job, I had to join a union. No. In order to keep this job, I had to join the union. Why? Because the union was not there when I got the job. When I did both my interviews and answered all the questions, there was nobody right here from the union that said, hey, hire this guy. There was nobody from the union out there saying, you need this guy is a nice guy, he's a really good worker. Nobody did that from the union. But I got the job. Union says, okay, now you got to join the union and start paying dues. In my training period, up to 6 months. No, while the training period goes until I get out of the training into actual driving, in that little three-month period, I am not represented by the union. But I'm still paying union dues. What's up with that? Well, you're not out yet. You're not. You haven't achieved any. Okay, thanks. Like I said, I have been anti-union all my life, and I'm only here because I have to be. Oh, by the way, I don't have to be right now. This American government passed a law that says that me, as a federal worker, as a government worker, I do not have to keep the union, stay part of the union in order to keep my job. Okay? Why? Because every union gives money to a political party. And if I object to the political party my union gives money to and supports, I don't have to be part of that. Okay? I choose to because that's what I told the union when I signed the paper. I will join the union and be part of the union, blah, blah, blah. When was the last time I went to a union meeting? About a year and a half ago. They don't like me because I don't show up. Oh, we got to stick together, the brotherhood and everything. It's like, sorry. Okay, and if I offend people by that, I don't know. I'm telling you how I view things. Okay, on this. Why? Because the union is always justifying, union members are always justifying themselves. And for some reason, they always put down the people that sign their paycheck. You know, there is no union member, no union president, treasurer, whatever, that signs my paycheck and puts it in the bank for me. Okay. I know the lady that does the paychecks at work. Nice lady. Just a sweetheart. Oh, she's not covered by a union. Why? Because she's management. It's So anyway, yeah, I'm nice to her. I go get my uniform allowance thing. I said, yeah, I'm going to go buy a uniform. I need a couple of pants or shirt or whatever. Oh, okay, how much you want? Well, how much is it? Oh, wow, that's a lot. My union thing is, my uniform thing, wow, that's a lot. Wow. And, yeah, I'm nice to her. Because she's a nice lady. But a lot of the union members are very antagonistic toward anybody that's management. Towards anybody that is part of the company. And I'm going, why? Matter of fact, they expect them to toe the line on everything that's in the contract and everything that should be done. Well, if they're not doing this, then we ought to do a grievance. File a grievance with these guys. Why? Because they're not following the contract. Our company has a radio protocol. Anybody know what a radio protocol is? Or anybody know what protocol is? Okay. It's a set of rules set down designed for things to go smoothly. Correct? We have a radio protocol. There are, at any given time, 50 of us out on the road at the same time. We talk to dispatch. And it's not called dispatch, it's called base. They're not dispatchers. It's called base. Okay? There's a certain way we address base, you know, route, and then the route number to base. Then we wait for our acknowledgement. That's protocol. One of our union members decides, just gives his number, and says what he's doing next, and expects the people in at the base and dispatch in the room there to have heard him and automatically acknowledge what he does. That's not protocol. Because you're supposed to identify yourself, wait till you're acknowledged, and then go on. Why? Because these guys do a lot of stuff there. There's people that come in the door. I've been one of them. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, I need a question answered. Okay, hang on. I got this guy on the radio. They are busy with other things. And for him to sit there and do that and then say that the company has to toe the line, it's hypocrisy. For us as Christians to say we demand our rights, our privileges, our whatever, and then not give that to somebody else, it's hypocrisy. We are calling ourselves pure. I have no sin. And we expect others to toe the line with us. Otherwise, we get offended. Oh, he better do this, this, and this. They better do this, this. Otherwise, I'm going to be offended. Well, what about you? You hypocrite? How many times do you offend by your actions, by your attitude, by not doing anything, and then you expect others to still do it? Wow. Boy. So this question, who can say I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin, the answer truly is nobody can. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Old Testament and New Testament. But for us to sit there and say, well, I've been saved so many years so I can start doing this, or I am now in the age of grace and we can continue in sin. Oh my goodness. Isn't that a heinous thing? Okay, it should be heinous in our eyes because it goes against what God says. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Which means don't live as a hypocrite. If you expect others to toe the line, you better be toeing that line. Judge not, lest you be judged or condemned. Okay? For whatever measure you use is going to be used against you. Okay, that's a paraphrase, but that's what it means. Which means if you use a measuring stick, you know, so much for somebody else's life, guess what God's going to do? I'm going to make this measuring stick for you. And if you don't live up to it, you're going to be in violation. All of us, at some point or another in our life, or even still now, say that we are pure in our heart. Even though we as Christians, we know we're sinners, but I'm living pure in my heart. Even those people that indulge sin, man, they say I'm pure. they're living in sin. And you say, oh, no, that's just Old Testament. That's, you know, past. We don't have to do that no more. Wait a minute. God never said that. The only thing that changed his salvation was what? Is the punishment for sin. Condemnation is still there. The wages of sin is still death. Okay. For us to say that we're exempt from it for some way, or believe that we are exempt from that, man, we are just hypocrites. That's where Paul says in that one section, you know, you were fornicators, you were burglars, you were all this stuff, murderers, all this, you were that whole thing. And such were some of you. And yet we believe that after we're saved sometimes, no, I was never that bad. Yeah, you were. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to be saved. Yes, I realize that's logic, okay? But it's what God says. You were unholy. You were ungodly. You were an antichrist back then before you were saved. And now, because of my love, because you accepted my free gift, we have a different relationship, father to child. Notice Solomon at the end of that just ends it with a question mark. Who can say I have made my heart clean? Who can say I am pure from my sin? Well, he leaves that alone because nobody can. Nobody can say I am pure. Which is why we need just Jesus before and after salvation. We need Jesus. We need God. Okay? And that goes to all aspects of our life. This next couple of things, and we're going to quit here, but the next couple of verses we're going to look at are having to do with business. Verse 10, verse 23, verse 14, verse 17. Diverse weights and diverse measures, this is verse 10. Both of them diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. Verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone away, then he boasteth. Verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And in verse 23, diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. If you read all those, and for the next week, why don't you do that? I don't know, read those. Okay. Find out what they actually apply to. Because, you know, I can say this, but you got to believe it. You know, it's the amazing thing about teaching and preaching. I could put out all kinds of information, but if you guys don't believe it, it don't mean nothing. Okay? Which is why some people say, oh, he's just full of hot air. Why? Because you don't believe it. You don't take it into your heart, what it says. If you see this, this has to do with, and I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a hint, it has to do with business. That we as Christians, when we do business with others, ought to do our part of that business. Okay? If you sign an agreement that says, I will pay this X amount of dollars for this item or whatever that I'm buying, it's called a business loan. It's called a loan. If you go down to Lowe's or somebody and get a freezer, you sign their card thing, and you sign a thing. And if you didn't buy it cash, you sign a thing that says, I will pay X amount of dollars per month in order to get this freezer. To not pay it is wrong. Because now you're cheating somebody. Yes, you are cheating somebody. You lied to them when you said, oh, I'll pay you back. How many times have you been told that in your life? Hey, can I borrow some of this? Yeah, oh, I'll pay you back. How many people actually had somebody paying back? Okay, really? Congratulations. I find it about half and half with me. Some people go ahead and pay it back. Some people don't. Okay. Surprisingly, though, those people that say that I don't expect it back because I know them, they're not going to pay it back. I'm never going to see a dime. Okay? It's like, wow. Why? Because I have judged their character. Oh, you've judged them? Yes, I have seen their character. I have known what they're going to do. Okay? I've had very few surprise me. But in dealing with business, working with deceit, it's an abomination before God. Oh, no, how can God be working business? I'm sorry, God does. Why? Because you need to be a Christian in business and your business dealings with people, as well as in your private life. Oh, I'm sorry, they're both the same. You're to be a child of God and a Christian. You're supposed to be Christ-like in business with somebody up front. I don't care if they're lost. I don't care if they're the most vile person in the world. If you've done business with them, you have chose to do business with that person. And you better be honest and a book forward with that person. Because I have had people after teaching this come up and say, oh, no, because we don't have to do that with people that are like, I don't know, alcoholics, drunks, and everything else. They gave me a bunch of other things. No. If you struck hands, if you agreed on something, you better be following through with it. As a child of God. Okay, we're going to go ahead and end there. But look that up if you would. I can't force you to do it. I can't go make you do it. Kind of like memory verses. I can't force you to have a memory verse. But you know, just look it up and see in business. And look up in business with my boss. You know, basically when I was hired, they said, here's the job. Do you agree to do that? Yes. It was a verbal agreement. Okay, so you got loophole because you didn't sign anything. Well, I did sign some papers. Okay. Plus, I told God that I would be a child of His on the job too. Okay. I would follow through with what I say. My word is my bond. We just finished The Man Who Walketh in Integrity. Okay. My word is my bond. Okay. Some people, if it's a verbal agreement, they'll cheat you because we don't have it in writing. You can't prove it. Come on, guys. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for our time together here. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, you just illuminate your word into our heart and our mind, that, Father, that we have a clear understanding of what your word means to us and in our life. Father, I pray and ask you to be with services this next hour, Father. Be with Pastor, Lord. You give him strength for his body and his mind. Father, strength for his voice that he can preach those things that you've laid upon his heart, that he can teach us, Lord, as we're learning from you. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.